Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good, man. It's a sunny day in London town. We are recording this a week in advance. So obviously the big news on everyone's lips here is that Boris Johnson is in intensive care, hopefully just precautionary. But I think it's important to set our stall out now that if we're sort of saying, oh, no, nothing much has gone on this week, you know, the Prime Minister's situation may have deteriorated. He may well be well on the road to recovery. So let's set our stall out that way, Chris. But how are you, man?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I do wish Boris Johnson the very best and hope his health recovers, regardless of what you think politically. You know, this is, you have to brush politics aside at times like this.
Well, Twitter seems to be just a wash of people sort of going, if you're slagging off Boris Johnson at a time like this, I don't think anyone is, to be honest. There's nobody putting caveats in. Literally nobody's mentioning his political record. Nobody. But the only people who are the ones who are saying, if you think that it's okay to have a go at a man that's in intensive care, it's a strange place. Don't go on Twitter. Leave Twitter. If we learn nothing from this crisis, just go off Twitter. It serves nothing.
Very true.
WhatsApp serves nothing. Crazy conspiracy theories serve nothing. Don't talk to anyone. Just listen to experts and just calm the F down. That's what I say. And listen to the Abroad Japan podcast. We're the experts. We're the Japan enthusiasts. We're the coolest guys.
Get in. You know what? I spend most of my time, if I look at all the time I spend on social media, I probably spend more time on Twitter than any other one. And weirdly, you know, I don't like Twitter in many ways. I don't like how negative people could be on there. I don't like how much bots and horrible people. I get a lot of insults on there more than anywhere. But it is good sometimes. I did see a video last week that you filmed from your window, from your apartment window, of a guy on a bench. Would you like to explain that to the listeners that haven't seen that video?
It was a guy who was like enjoying the late afternoon sunshine, but the sunshine was kind of peeking over the top of the theatre over the road, and he was trying to get a little bit of sunshine, I think. But the only way he could do it was by standing on a park bench, which is terribly rude. Standing on somewhere that people sit every day, and this guy's just trampling all over it with his big old size 10s. Disgraceful behaviour. I did not. You see such sights outside my window, Chris. I sort of feel like a sense of normalcy has entered my life. Because at the weekend it was quite sunny, so there were a few people, I'm going to say sunbathing, against government advice, in the backyard, in the churchyard behind my house. And there was a woman who was consistently shouting the MF word by herself. Just some woman who just enjoyed shouting it. And I thought, that's my Soho. I don't recognise the Soho at the moment. I don't recognise the Soho in which people, there's nobody around. I can sleep for hours on end without being woken up by people screaming. I don't recognise this Soho, but I certainly recognised it on that day with a woman shouting MF on Saturday.
Definitely. It must be pretty trippy, Soho being quiet. But yeah, I love the video. I couldn't work out if it was in real time, because you're just shouting at the guy, oi, what are you doing? what are you doing? What are you doing? And he's like ignoring you, but he can kind of hear you. He sort of looks around as if he's going mental, and he just goes back to standing on the bench. And I thought you'd like done a voiceover you'd recorded afterwards because it was all a bit surreal.
No, I was just in my kitchen and I was shouting at a man. There's always somebody doing something a bit mad in the churchyard. It's usually this guy who does mad kind of karate by himself.
What?
He's just kind of like stands in the churchyard and does like this mad kind of like, you know, like a sort of, it's not Falun Gong, is it? What's the stuff that like you sometimes see? If you're ever in like Shanghai, you see like old ladies do or in Hong Kong in the gardens or like just in like a bit of green grass in the middle of like a motorway. You'll just sort of see these old ladies kind of doing this kind of like yoga. He kind of does that, but then he'll throw in some mad karate moves in the middle of it. And I just stand there. I just watch the guy. He's very interesting. He's got a skullet, which is always enjoyable. Not that I'm any kind of I haven't got any room to talk with the state of my hair at the moment. Awful.
And it's going to get worse now that you're indoors. But I think you should film the aforementioned ninja karate dude in the park. That'd be a cracking video. Yeah. Cracking video indeed. Speaking of videos, it's been a good week, actually, for the Born Japan channel. I did make a video called What I'll Never Understand About Japan. And in it, it's basically just a Q&A video. But it got 600,000 views in like a day, which is really obscenely good. There was one segment that I think is the reason it did so well. Somebody asked, did I have a childhood character who scared me, like a character from a film or something that scared me as a kid? And I said, oh, my God, I hate E.T. He's given me nothing but nightmares for the last 29 years. And in the comments, there's about 5,000 or 6,000 comments. And like I'd say 50 to 60% of them are just people going, yeah, me too. I hate E.T. Freak me out. Yeah. And that has driven the video to great acclaim and driven it on YouTube because obviously YouTube detects if a video has had like above average likes or comments or watch time.
Right.
And so thanks to E.T., he's finally paid off. He's finally given me what I deserve, lots of views. So thank you, E.T. 29 years of nightmares. I finally paid off with a video that's been watched by 500,000 people. Do you like E.T.?
Well, fair play. I don't remember ever being that into him. He was always kind of... it's definitely before your time. It kind of feels like it was a little bit before my time as well, even though I'm considerably older than you. I just sort of think it just sort of always reminds me of like Star Wars, which is kind of before my time, the original three. I just felt like I just wasn't part of it. There are so many cultural touchstones that everyone talks about from the 80s that I have no great fondness for. Whereas I think I was kind of like Moonwalker, Michael Jackson's Moonwalker and Ninja Turtles. That was my first kind of like foray into fantasy. Cultural touchstones when it comes to kids TV. E.T. never floated any of my boats. And the video game was terrible, wasn't it? The Atari one. Remember, they made a load of them. It killed Atari. They buried it in the desert in Nevada, I think. Isn't it in the desert? They basically made too many of these E.T. video games and they buried a pile of them in a field. And I think they dug them up. They were trying to locate this mound, this payload of old E.T. games. And they dug them up last year, I think, or maybe the year before that, and sold each and every one on all dirty and soily. I don't know why. Just
the curse
a quirky bit of video game history, yeah. But it nearly that video game nearly tanked the entire video game industry.
Brilliant. I mean, I used to have nightmares that it was in the back of my wardrobe. As a kid, I just didn't like opening my wardrobe because I thought he was in there at the back behind my crappy cheap clothes. He looks like a walking, talking piece of mud, and I was always amazed that I like was the only one who seemed to be afraid of him. But now that I confessed it in the video, it seems that most people seem to find him a little bit creepy as a kid. So I don't feel alone anymore in the universe.
He was to a certain extent utterly charmless because he looked like an old person. He had that kind of Yoda vibe to him, didn't he? But he looked like an old person, but with a really, it's the neck I couldn't handle. Just a big, heavy kind of oblongy head and a long neck. Yeah, and he did sort of, didn't he? He spent most of the time in the cupboard because that was the only place where he could be safe from the humans, the grown up.
Yeah,
humans,
I mean,
anyway.
I don't remember the film that well because last time I watched it was about 25 years ago. But I remember he turns up, he's a little bit lost, he stumbles into someone's house, he harasses a family, and sort of says, I need to get home now. Can I go home? I need to use the phone. And they're like, you're not using our phone, mate. And then eventually a bicycle flies. He makes a bicycle fly, which is amazing, apparently. And then he goes home again. And it's all a bit surreal.
I mean, if he can make a bicycle fly, why does he need the common or garden human telephone to phone home?
Seems
a little antiquated, mate. Seems a little bit fax machine in Japan in 2020, innit?
It's a load of nonsense. And did you know, because I found this out afterwards, that apparently E.T. originally, it was going to be a horror story, a horror film, like, which to me was anyway. But apparently it's going to be a straight up horror film about an alien that just turns up at someone's house and starts pointing around and being a Muppet. Anyway, we didn't come here to discuss E.T. Well, we didn't. But there you go.
If you're a stronger stomach, do try and check out the porno of it. it's something else.
Oh, my Lord. I don't even want to think about that.
No, you really don't.
My next video, I'm doing a video on crazy Japanese English. Loads of people love this video where I basically just reel off funny things that I've seen. I bought a hat from the 100 yen store just yesterday. It's a really small hat. Admittedly, it's for children. I've been trying to wear it. Doesn't fit. And on the front, it says, "Are you excited? Let's adventure. Special every day."
Wow. And special every day.
Special nice. Every day.
Good.
And I'm trying to put that on. Doesn't fit, but I'll be wearing that in the video. So you've got that to look forward to in the next few days, ladies and gentlemen. And not only that, but Pete, you'll be delighted to learn that there is now a Pete Donaldson soundboard on abroadinjapan.com. How do you feel about that? Pete Donaldson soundboard, 25 clips.
I am not your plaything, Chris, but
you are now.
If I would be your plaything, Chris, I just like the fact that you've had to go through a load of old podcasts or get someone else to do it and find a load of clips of me saying stupid things. So you're welcome, world, for Chris Broad's excellent website, abroadinjapan.com.
Well, luckily, someone else did it. A very nice viewer of the channel sent me a button.
Unbelievable.
For Christmas. It's a push button with like a big red button. You press it and Pete Donaldson quotes just pop out. I basically offloaded that into the system, onto the website, and there you go. So if you want
clever,
Pete Donaldson in your pocket, ladies and gentlemen, do check it out, abroadinjapan.com, just go to the soundboards, and he's below Natsuki and Ryotaro. But I think you've got more clips than anyone now, so well done.
Well, I would say that little button, when me, you and Ryotaro went on a little trip to meet some seaweed farmers just near Sendai,
you
had it in your possession, in your employ. And you would not stop pressing it. Now, I don't know. It was somebody from Germany who made it, isn't it? They managed to clip. There must be 50 clips on there. There are so many sound clips of me saying stupid things. And you pressed it, and there was a unique one every single time. I didn't hear the same clip twice. Incredible. Incredible bit of work. It's a lovely product as well. So I need to find where these are. So it's just like a button that plays a random sound clip every single time. It's fantastic. It really is.
Definitely.
There you go. Chris has got it there. It's wonderful.
This I don't even know where some of these are from. See if you know where this one's from.
Marmaduke.
That one.
Marmaduke.
Not
Where's
a clue.
That from?
Marmaduke. Oh, is that the monkey? That was the monkey hey. Park, wasn't it? When we're in Kyoto. There you go.
What about this one?
Nanakore?
Nanakore. Where's that from?
Oh. Is that Osaka in the skate park, maybe?
I think that's when we were cycling on the first day around the lake and we found a windmill randomly.
Oh, Nanakore. I saw, I was watching WrestleMania. It's kind of behind closed doors this year. I was watching a bit of WrestleMania. The first match was a tag team. I don't know. I can't remember their name. But one of the wrestlers is Asuka. The Japanese wrestler is very good, but she's got a little YouTube channel, so you're not the only Japanese vlogger I've been watching this week. I've watched a lot of her stuff, and it's basically her in her backyard, Asuka from WWE, in her backyard cooking good, honest Japanese food, and she looks like she is living in some kind of military compound in Iraq. It's incredible. Oh, yeah. She's got such a weird house, and she's and it reminds me of the Nanny Correa thing at WrestleMania. She was grabbing hold of a woman's hairband and going Nanny Correa, Nanny Correa. She was loving it. But she's well worth a watch on YouTube because just simply because she mosaics everything. Because the Japanese seem to have a real interest in mosaicing everything. Every person on the street, so you can't see who they are, etc., etc. She does this wonderful bit of mosaicing to obscure this picture of this video of a dog walking down the street, ignoring, of course, the fact that this dog is right next to a window. So she mosaics the dog, but the reflection of the dog can clearly be seen in the window.
Oh,
they love
God.
A mosaic, the Japanese. They love it.
Apparently, if you film in public, you've got to like mosaic or blur out everyone and everything, just because a few years ago there was a lawsuit where some guy had appeared on camera, it might have been on TV or something, in the background with a girl, and his wife saw it because the girl he was with wasn't his wife. And right. I think she divorced him. And he was so angry about this that his private life had been exposed that he sued, I think, the TV company or the production company. And it kind of, it all came from that.
Right.
Cheating.
So,
bloody cheating, cheeky bastard. Thing is, somebody asked me a question in the previous video I mentioned a minute ago, the one I did last week. And one of the questions was, how common is cheating in Japan? And I read a study that was about 36% or 40% of married guys have cheated on their partner. I think 25% of women had cheated on their husband as well. And it is quite common in Japan. It's a surreal thing. One of the conclusions I came to in that was that, I mean, I've travelled the length and breadth of this country, and it is, you know, I've spoken to guys and they're pretty open about the fact, because marriage arrangements in Japan are very businesslike and clinical and tick-boxy. Mm. There's not much romance, and so often people have that, you know, they cheat for that kind of romantic, kind of exciting relationship on the side. But a lot of people go to hostess bars or these soap land places, where you get like a massage and maybe more, and they won't necessarily class that as cheating. So cheating levels are higher than you probably think in Japan, because most people don't see it as cheating, because they see it as like a service, as a business, right? Going into a soap land or a hostess club where you can often date women or, you know, have private meetings with them outside of hours. So yeah, very, I don't even remember how this started. We went from a wrestling woman to that.
Well, I mean, pulling it back to modern life. I mean, obviously, there's obviously huge amounts of wage relief happening all around the world, because obviously people can't work because of the lockdowns in different countries. And I think the Japanese sex workers, or the sex industry as a whole, which is gargantuan. I was going to say, as you well know, but, you know, as you well know, it is absolutely huge. Not on personal terms, obviously, Chris. Obviously. There's a lot of sex workers just not receiving payments simply because they're not regarded as legitimate work, which is terrible, in that most of the politicians who are saying that it's not legitimate work will be exactly the sort of people who are frequenting the soapland places, I would say.
Absolutely. And at this point, I feel it's important to say, damn.
I'm going to try and slip it in my mouth.
There you go.
That was that random. That's such a good one. It's random.
Brilliant.
Lovely.
Yeah, I mean, while we're on the news, though, you clearly read that in the news, didn't you, about the sex workers?
No, I thought about it myself.
Did you now? that was an issue, because the Japanese government is currently looking at ways to help families, impoverished families, or people that don't have enough money coming in due to the drop in business, due to the economic environment. This week, they did announce in Japan, they declared a state of emergency in several regions like Tokyo and Osaka. Although actually in Japan, just by declaring a state of emergency, the Japanese national government doesn't have much power. It can't tell people what not to do. It can't really, you know, put down rules or instigate things where they have police on the streets telling people, don't do that, go back home, like we do in Europe and America at the moment. Japan can't do that. And actually, the railway, the good old Yamanote line, has seen a 30% drop in passengers on the Tokyo Yamanote line, the busiest, most popular rail line.
That's the big green one that goes round and round and round. It's that circle line, isn't it, in Tokyo? But like the 30%, on rush hour, 30%, that just makes it like a busy train. You know what I mean? It's usually a packed train where nobody can, you know, everyone's obviously getting pushed on by the guards. 30% drop, you're not even going to notice that, to be honest.
No, definitely not. And certainly where I live up in Tohoku, it's business as usual still. It's all a bit disappointing. I do feel the Japanese government has handled this badly, like most people do here. It's been a very slipshod affair. A lot of my friends in Tokyo, they are isolating at the moment, but business does go on for a lot of people. There has to be some level of sympathy, given that a lot of people, if they stop working, they don't make any money and they can't live. But yeah, it's not been handled well. And there was another news story this week that was so preposterous that to be honest, it kind of disappeared given the sheer number of stories going on at the moment that are much more horrific in magnitude. But this one was quite surreal. A woman was arrested for trespassing at the Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's private residence in Tokyo. She broke in. Apparently some guys patrolling the Prime Minister's residence just saw this woman standing there, this 26-year-old woman, with a bag. And they found in her bag a hatchet, a container with gasoline, some tear gas spray. And apparently when she was asked, you know, why are you here? What are you doing? She said, I thought I'd be able to reset my life if I enter the Prime Minister's residence and I'm arrested. Which is admittedly one of the most surreal reasons for breaking into the Prime Minister's house.
Difficult. Just knock over a 7-Eleven.
Absolutely.
Just steal some crisps.
Apparently, relationship with her parents aren't very good. I mean, she's only 26 years old, and I guess, you know, she must have been on an edge and thought that's the best way to reset her life, to quote her. Yeah. Bit surreal. Didn't really get very far, though, luckily.
Well, I mean, she got in the residence, so, I mean, that's pretty far, isn't it? Or she was certainly on the ground.
It's quite impressive.
Incredible.
It's still impressive.
I mean, I don't think I could get... I mean, I probably could now. He's in hospital. But I couldn't get anywhere close to Boris Johnson's abode. It's just not a thing. Like, I'm just struggling to say. Remember, didn't they ban drones near in Tokyo because somebody flew a drone into Shinzo Abe's apartment or near it?
Yeah, someone did fly a drone over the Prime Minister's residence. I think there might have been some sort of chemical or something attached to it. But after that, they had a crackdown on drones in Japan, flying them in kind of built-up areas, which is probably for the best, to be honest. Especially, I mean, I fly drones and they are terrifying what you can do with them. Not that I do anything bad with them at all, ever. Never would.
Mosaic it, mate.
Yeah, mosaic everything. I think the next time you're over in Japan, we should... Actually, no, I probably shouldn't say that. I was going to suggest flying into Shinzo Abe's house. No,
that's
ridiculous.
I just think
we
get
suggest some sort of break-in video with Pete Donaldson into somewhere.
Yes, you could be like a kind of historical racist Fagin figure, and I can be Oliver Twist sneaking in and stealing things.
Historical racist Fagin. I like that. Yeah. Good old Oliver Twist. Classic. So a mixture of news there, some good, some bad. What I will say, there is some good news for me personally, because it's my 30th birthday in about 2 weeks now, which is kind of scary and surreal. Obviously, you have been 30 for a while. And do you
better remember it?
Do you remember the sensation of turning 30? What was it like?
I remember my ex-girlfriend planned a lovely get-together and friends that I didn't think... friends that I didn't think were invited just turned up, and it was really nice, actually. It was I had a really, really good 30th. And I would say my 30s have been my favourite decade thus far. So for anyone turning 30 like Chris, you've got nothing to fear. It gets so much better. Your 20s suck so hard.
Well, 30s I've had a good run.
Brilliant. I've had a good run.
But I mean, I've always been kind of scared of 30. I feel like after that, you know, things get a bit more serious. Though I don't see that happening. Yeah. I have no plans to make life serious at any point. but it's always been a daunting milestone. So I bought myself an early birthday present to cheer myself up. And now I want you to guess what it is with 20 questions. Begin.
Right.
Pressure's on.
That somebody on, I forget his name, but somebody on Instagram DM'd me a video of him in I think Osaka Airbnb. And he was doing a tour of the Airbnb, and he went, Futatsu, there were two beds. And he went, Hitotsu, sink. Hitotsu bath. And then above the bath, really high up, someone had put. And it kind of looked like a fixture that belonged in the bathroom because it was kind of metal-based. It was clearly on some kind of sucker situation, but it was suckered really high onto the wall of the bathroom above the bath. But it was a fleshlight, and clearly whoever the maid had been in and cleaned the room hadn't noticed that someone had put a fleshlight, stuck it to the wall really, really high in the bathroom. Thinking it was some kind of fixture in the hotel/Airbnb. And it was a wonderful video. It was a real surprise when the guy pointed it out. And is it a flashlight?
What is a flashlight? What is that? Why don't I know what that is?
It's a Tenga. One of those fucking you put your penis in it, Chris. It's a male sex toy. It's that. There are very few, you know, I'm all for like men's liberation to a certain extent. It does have its own problems and connotations, and it's usually tied in with absolute misogyny. But men's sex toys, they're slightly more problematic, aren't they? If you know someone who proudly announces that they've got a sex toy, it's a little bit different to a woman proudly proclaiming that they've got a sex toy.
This was supposed to be a light-hearted 20 questions.
Have you bought yourself a sex toy for your 30th?
Broad, generalised questions. Slowly working your way towards
big boy.
Funny lad. Slowly working your way towards getting an answer. And yet you've just proposed that straight up on question one. You are a disgrace. Absolutely. Sitting indoors. What has it done to you?
Look, you've got a few weeks in isolation, mate. So let the good times roll.
30th birthday present. That's a 29-year-old birthday present at best. Like 30th, it's a big number. It's a big time.
A good one.
For
all
good
right.
presents. Question
have you
number
bought
two.
Yourself have you bought yourself another drone?
I haven't bought myself another drone. Why would I do that? Right. I've already bought one like 2 months ago.
Did you fix the last one?
No, it's in the cupboard sitting behind me right now. I'll give that to you for your birthday. You can have that. You can fix it in your apartment.
Cool.
Fly it over the park. Question three.
Is it electronic?
Yeah. Well, it has electronic. Yeah, it has electricity.
Is it musical?
No.
Can you eat it?
No.
What? Does it cook anything?
No. That's six questions.
Can you drive it?
Yes.
Is it a car?
Yes, you bastard.
Yay!
So
you bought yourself a car.
God,
love your job. Yes.
Eight questions.
From sex toy to car.
In just eight questions. Yes, I bought myself a car. I bought a Honda Fit 1.5 litre. I love the way all YouTubers these days are like, I bought myself a Tesla. And now it's just me going, I bought a Honda Fit. It's a hybrid. It's economical and it's really fast. It goes 0 to 60 in 3 minutes. It's a nice car, to be fair. It's a nice looking car, but nothing special. But these last 5-6 years, I've not had a car since I moved to Sendai just because, you know, driving in a city is not that fun. But I figured it would be good to try and get a car so I can have a bit more freedom and have more excursions. Because I tend to find when you don't have a car, you limit yourself a bit to where you go and what you do. And the places I go these days are just places that are on near a railway line. And that's not good. Like Tohoku region is a place of mystery and wonder, and to enjoy it you really do need a car. And I do rent a car often, like once every 2 or 3 months I'll rent a car and go somewhere. But I just thought if I have a car I can do a lot more stuff. So I've bought myself the gift of freedom, and I'm not letting you anywhere near it, because every time you're in my car I'll get a fine for lots of money for going like 2 kilometers over the speed limit. You are nothing but bad luck in my damn car.
Where do you keep it? Is there like, do you have to pay for parking and stuff like that?
Yeah, it's an absolute nightmare. So in the UK or most normal countries, when you buy a car, you walk in and go, I want that one. And they go, yeah. And then you sign a paper, throw some money, and then you drive off into the sunset. In Japan, it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. You have to prove that you have a car parking space at your apartment. and the police have to come round, and this is true, they have to come round and measure your car parking space with measuring tape, go to the car dealer and be like, all right, we've proved that Abroad Japan has a car park space and his car will fit. So you can do it now. You can give it to him. And I've got to wait 2 weeks to get my car for that very reason. And sometime in the next few days, police are going to come round. They're not going to knock on my door. They're not going to talk to me. They're just going to be out the front measuring my car parking space if it can hold a bloody Honda Fit. It's so surreal.
Wow.
Like Japan's got Japan's got a very odd car parking culture where all houses, you know, before you, or all apartments, before you get a car, you have to like prove to the dealer or to the person who you're getting the car from that you have a car parking space, which is unheard of in the UK, right? That would be surreal to get the police involved for that. But that's one of the few things police here do. Because there's no crime.
An ex-girlfriend's dad was a mechanic and he loved old American cars. And he lived on the outskirts of Leicester in a tiny town. And he owned a Cadillac, pink Cadillac, and it wouldn't fit down any of the roads. So maybe it's a good scheme.
Potentially. Yeah. But
very interesting.
It's surreal. But anyway, glad to get a car. That's my 30th birthday present to myself. The gift of freedom.
Oh, happy birthday. Will it be your birthday by the time this show comes out? No, of course it won't be.
It's going to be what? It's going to be like the 14th or 15th or something. So I'll have another week or so after this.
Well, there
Yeah. I look forward to your birthday present, though. I'll be sitting by the letterbox, by the mailbox, waiting for somebody to come in.
Same here, mate. Same here, because mine's a week after yours, isn't it? So hope yours
done. Got an extra week, haven't I? Got an extra week to think of something. Brilliant.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
But we now turn our attention to Speedy Japanese, the moment you've all been waiting for, the bit that people love. We're going to teach Pete some more Japanese words, ladies and gentlemen. And our first one, do you know what birthday present is? Given we've just spent the last 5-10 minutes talking about my birthday present to myself, how do you say it in Japanese? I think you know this one.
I know that it is... I know happy birthday is Tanjubi Omedetto.
Good, yeah.
But, so Tanjubi must be birthday.
Tanjobi. And,
Tanjobi.
Literally celebration day.
Is it a Right, okay. Presentor. Tangibly presentor.
Yeah.
Presentor.
Yeah, so present is Gairaigo, foreign borrowed word, and it's presentor. So Tanjobi presentor. Tanjobi presentor. Tanjobi birthday, day of celebration, present, presentor. What about, we talked about aliens, we talked about the godforsaken character that is E.T. Do you know what alien is in Japanese? And actually before that, there's the word that relates to that. Do you know what space in general, space, the universe
is
in
Japanese?
No,
I really don't.
So it's uchu. Uchu.
Uchu.
That literally means like extraterrestrial. But can you now guess, now that you know the word for space or the universe is uchu, can you guess what alien is?
Well, I guess if I am ego jin des, I would say it would be uchujin. Uchujin.
Mm. Yes, good. It's literally space person. Yeah, uchujin.
Space person. Cool. Space person. I want to be a space person. I want a long neck.
Have a few beers. You'll be in space. just remember when you say space in Japanese, the uchu is, it's longer on the chu, the u sound. Uchu, uchujin.
Uchujin!
Sounds like a sweet. Sounds like some sort of Japanese confectioner. Brilliant. All right, now let's turn to the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
Ah, we got an email from Kyle, smartass, eh? Hey, Chris and Footy Boy, if you're still on board. Thank you. You and Peter talked about whether Japanese drinking parties were much fun, and I wanted to weigh in, as well you might. I also live and work in Japan and have shared the experience of the JET program, specifically on the tiny outer island of Okinawa Prefecture. Lovely at this time of year, you'd imagine. The people here love their alcohol, and there's a nomakai going on somewhere at least twice a week. On weeknights, when everyone's got work, the nomakai are great. They go for a couple of hours. No
one gets
drunk.
You know what nomikai is, right?
All you can drink? Just drinking party, isn't it?
Yeah, nomi means drinking. Kai means party. So nomikai means drinking party. Yeah. Good luck. Carry on.
Well, during the week, the nomakai are great. They go for a couple of hours. No one gets obnoxiously drunk. Food and chat floor. And there's usually a nabe hot pot that everyone chips into. Or just chips on account of all the cutlery going around. It's the Friday or Saturday night nomakai that you've got to watch out for. Since there's no work the next morning, these roll on until the wee hours. 8 or 9 hour affairs that typically end with at least one poor fellow simply slumped on the floor, others mumbling along in a drunken haze. You see, the island is so small that there's not really anywhere to go to have a nomakai. So these all happen at someone or other's house. No last call, no clear out already, no. But it's rude to leave early, so you're kind of sitting around a table until 4 a.m. having decreasingly interesting or even coherent conversations. So that's my thoughts on, are Japanese work parties actually fun? I'm sure that's very valuable commentary coming along 6 months after the podcast. Love the podcast, by the way. It's great to listen to when going about the day. Do too tell Pete that because of his endless fanboyism, I tried Coolidge for myself and was frankly unimpressed. Kyle, never email the Apprentice Man podcast again.
I mean, he's not half wrong. The Coolish ice cream isn't quite as good as you'd expect, given Pete's fanaticism. Nomikai, have you ever been to one? I think you kind of went to one. I mean, Nomikai just means drinking party, and we kind of had one with me, you, Natsuki, and a few friends in Sakata in Yamagata that time.
Yeah. Yeah, we've drunk to excess. Had a chat. Lovely.
Absolutely.
Job.
What was the question? Such a long message.
It wasn't really a question. It was just like, nomakai are problematic on that island, so don't do them there. Get around
insane.
People's houses.
I mean, Kyle nomakai. Didn't say the name of the island. He just said an outer island in Okinawa. That must be pretty surreal, just sitting around your kind of work colleague's house 8 or 9 hours till 4 a.m. Oh, God. I mean, nomikai are fun at first, but I don't know. Depends who you're with, really. I had to go on them with teachers. You know, you have like colleague bonding sessions where you have to sit around and drink with them. And as good as they are, as lovely as they are, often, you know, there are the teachers and they're not my friends as such. You know, you can't have typical banter. So it always felt a bit forced and you always felt like you had to be careful what you were saying. So I never really enjoyed them that much. It's just not the same as going out with friends, right? But you are obliged to do it. You have to go. And you can often get out of it by not drinking much alcohol. And there were always teachers in our English department. We had about 12 teachers. And there were always like three or four who just never showed up to anything. They were like, no, busy, can't be bothered. and they were always the cool ones, unfortunately. They were always the good teachers didn't bother turning up. It was a disaster. but it sounds like quite a fun experience, Kyle. It sounds like something that most folks don't normally get to do, sitting on an island, drinking, getting drunk with colleagues. But yeah, good one. If you come and live and work in Japan, ladies and gentlemen, do be prepared to enjoy a Normikai. It's part of the life here. got one for Brent from Portland, Oregon, currently in Vancouver. He says, hi, Chris and Pete. A few episodes ago, Chris mentioned a bad experience being on NHK television, and I had just the opposite experience. Oh, you lucky devil. For those of you who don't know, NHK TV is like the BBC of Japan, except it's not, because it's not as good. On my first ever trip to Japan, my first solo international trip, I accidentally ended up being featured on NHK on a show called Chisana Tabi, literally a short trip. I came down to breakfast at my traditional Japanese inn one morning to hear the innkeeper spelling my name on the phone. I was concerned at first that there was an issue. That is trippy, isn't it? That would be kind of
that is worrying.
Deeply worrying. I was concerned at first that there was an issue with my immigration or payment information, as I couldn't think of anyone who would be contacting me. But I had put down my accommodation information on the immigration document, so that might have been why. But after he hung up, he walked over to me and told me that the inn would be featured on a TV episode on the neighbourhood. And the neighbourhood in question was Yanaka, near Ueno in Tokyo, which is kind of, for those of you who don't know, Yanaka is a kind of traditional old town just north of Ueno. It's quite nice. Have a lot of cats there for whatever reason. Anyway, he had suggested to the director that I might be a good person to feature on the show as I'd explored the local area a bit. They initially asked for one day of my time, but it quickly turned closer into 3 days, and it was an amazing experience. My only complaint was that there were a few scenes that they shot where they told me that I looked really cool, which didn't make it into the final episode, while all the scenes of me being an awkward foreigner were deemed final cut worthy. Typical. I had the exact same experience. Before this trip, I was really struggling with what I wanted to do with my life, but the experience led me to develop an interest in language and culture, which subsequently led me to doing a master's in applied linguistics and moving to Tokyo to teach English and business communication at a top university in Tokyo for 4 years. Wow. Nice one. I've since also lived in Europe, and I'm currently working on my PhD in Canada, and I can trace it all back to that trip to Tokyo and that appearance on NHK. My question for you two is, have you had a singular experience like this that you felt has obviously altered the course of your life? Keep up the good work. Brent from Portland, currently in Vancouver. There you go, Pete. I'm out of breath. Yeah. I need some water now. I feel dehydrated. Such a long message.
That's wonderful.
Great story, though.
I like that a lot.
Great story.
I mean, I like the fact that it's the person in question, Brent, has... I mean, they've taken 3 days out of his holiday there. You'd want payment, wouldn't you? You'd be like, what is this? Some kind of reality TV show featuring me? I need some cash. I need some readies. At least fill up a Suica card for me.
Being on Japanese TV is already payment unto itself, or as I'd like to think of it, torture.
You'd never see it.
I've been pretty vocal about my not so great experiences on Japanese TV. I've been on it about 3 or 4 times, and they always try and put words in your mouth, like that line that Brent said about how they cut out all the scenes where he looked cool and just focused on him being an awkward foreigner. That's kind of what they did to me, and I felt that was a little bit disingenuous and annoying. Like when they came to my apartment to talk about Brexit, and I've talked about this before, right? How I had to make a prophecy of what was going to happen the next day with Brexit, and I said, it definitely won't happen. And it did, and they came back twice, they came back again, and were like, what do you think now? And I was like, ah, it's rubbish, isn't it? and on the first day, they like kind of made me, they kind of put words in my mouth about Brexit. They sort of made me say, I definitely didn't think it was going to happen. And they were like, it's bad for your economy, isn't it? It's bad, it's bad. And I'd be like, yeah, sure. But the worst one was NHK World, where they just cut me off mid-sentence. I was saying a line like, I like this place because, and they just cut me off because whoever edited it wasn't a native English speaker and didn't know what they were doing. But back to the question, have you had a singular experience in your life that has obviously altered everything, Pete? What have you had?
It's kind of I'd probably say that I managed to get into radio because I met a radio DJ in the now defunct gay indie night, pop stars in London. I think it was at the Scala. A really good night out. Really, really good music. Great stuff. Mm. And I met Marsha Chandeur, who now lives in Canada, weirdly. She's like a kind of life coach now, I think. She's very good, very inspirational woman. And I was chatting to her and said that I wanted to go into radio. I'd done a little bit of work experience, but only a week, and I didn't enjoy it. So it was on a breakfast show I didn't necessarily enjoy. I met her, and she was lovely, and she got me in to do work experience. And the rest is history, Chris. 12 years later, I'm not working in radio anymore.
But you are, you were one of the best in the business at your peak, at your height. Weren't
oh,
you?
Yes, definitely. At my peak, yes.
You were, by all accounts, a top London radio DJ.
Radio DJ.
Not anymore. Podcast.
We got an email from Mikey Mike. Hey, fellas. As two lads who've travelled Japan extensively, I mean, obviously Chris more than me, I was wondering if you could each give two or three tourist attractions that you felt were overrated or disappointing. It would be good to get a heads up before I make the journey later this year. Well, I hope you get there. Mike, stay safe, chaps. Mike from Essex. Disappointing tourist traps.
Disappointing tourist traps. I'm going to be bold and say the Sensoji Temple in Asakusa, because you know everyone goes there. Everyone goes there, and as the number of tourism has just gone up over the years, it just gets flooded with people. And you know, you can get some great photos there, but I just, you know, for me, a Japanese temple, the most important thing is going there and feeling something, feeling moved. And you can only do that when you are not being surrounded by thousands of people with iPhones. And actually, it's quite nice in the evening or early morning, Sensoji Temple. It's quite nice when there's not people around. So go at like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. and it'll be quite pleasant. But for the most part, during the day, it is overrated and it is unpleasant and I don't enjoy it now. And Asakusa has been part of the big tourism boom. They've thrown up loads of hotels very quickly, pulled down a lot of traditional buildings. And I used to love walking around the back streets of Asakusa. There's nowhere quite like it in Tokyo. But these days, it just feels like if you do that, you just stumble across another like upper hotel chain. You just stumble across another bloody hotel. So that'll be first on my list. What about you? Have you got anywhere that springs to mind?
Well, I was thinking about the temple thing. I mean, if you really like Japanese temples, they are everywhere. You know, some more impressive than others. But just go to... Just literally go to any other one. I mean, they're pretty much the same, aren't they, really? I always think the Tokyo Tower's a little bit, when you actually see it in the flesh, you're like, oh, this just looks like any other tower in any other city in Japan, once you've been to a few cities. But everything's always, I think the first time you see anything, it's quite exciting. But I wouldn't go out of my way to visit a lot of the, you know, really touristy bits, because you just know they're just going to be so busy. I think coming from using English language, Google Maps and stuff, precludes you from experiencing a lot of stuff, some stuff anyway, because you're only ever going to be going to something that's been reviewed before by an English person, because obviously you're reading in English, and that's obviously makes it a little bit more difficult. So I'm not saying you shouldn't use it. I would just say if you are looking for a specific thing, maybe try and look for the Japanese word and try and find it in katakana or hiragana. Type that into Google, and you might get some more interesting results.
Definitely. I mean, in terms of places I was disappointed by, I'd say the Golden Pavilion in Kyoto.
Right.
Which, it looks nice. Don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful looking pavilion. It's golden, after all. But I just, again, the crowds ruined it. You can't feel anything. My only memory of it is going, that looks nice, and then being like pushed around by literally thousands of tourists, and I didn't have time to read the pamphlet or the little history book about it. I just shuffled along in a queue of people, walked past it, took a photo, and then I was led out, and that was that.
It's very impressive.
That was very disappointing.
It's a very impressive building.
It is impressive, but my advice, be careful what time of day you go to that. Otherwise, you will be disappointed like I was, and now I kind of refuse to go to it. Whenever I have friends coming, I show them around Kyoto, I'm like, all right, you go to the Golden Pavilion. I'll sit in my hotel room and eat Pringles. And let me know when you're done.
Do you think What time do you reckon it's best to go? Because obviously everyone's got jet lag, so they probably go quite early. I'd go around about 3 o'clock. You'd think it would be really busy, but people start to sort of go for an afternoon snooze then, I always think.
Yeah, I would go to the pavilion probably late afternoon. Like, I think it would have died off because I think people would go early and queue for it. So go in the afternoon. Be careful what day, because things tend to be busy at the weekend in general in Japan, because, you know, Japanese tourists exist as well, and they all often go to Kyoto. So you can avoid Japanese tourists simply by not going at the weekend, and so numbers should be lower then. So go on like a Wednesday at 3 or 4 p.m. and hopefully it'll be not as bad. But there you go, there's some places to avoid. We've got one here from Hannah who says, "Hi Chris and Pete, I'm a first aider with a well-known first aid charity in the UK. This week I've been making a 3-hour commute there and back to COVID-19 training so that I can go into my local accident and emergency department and help the doctors and nurses there. I'm one of thousands of first aiders doing so across the UK. I don't really have a question as such. I just want to say a big thank you for keeping me sane since I listen to the podcast on my train commute. You both make getting up at 5 a.m. much more bearable with your humour, insights and anecdotes. I hope I can revisit Japan once all of this is over. I first went in 2013 and I've been dying to go back since. Best wishes, Hannah." God bless you, Hannah. Take care. I mean, I have so much, just the people who are handling this at the moment on the front lines, I have so much respect for them. I really do. And if you want to make a donation to like a charity in the UK, the one is the NHS Charities COVID-19 Urgent Appeal on virginmoneygiving.com. I highly recommend it if you're in the UK or in your own country. Try and give a donation to the frontline staff such as Hannah who are dealing with this situation. I have so much respect for them. But thank you, Hannah. Best luck. Best of luck and best wishes to you. Anything you'd like add, Pete?
Yeah, awesome. No, just thank you to everyone who's obviously on the front line of medicine at the moment, wherever you might be listening to the Bron Japan podcast, wherever you are in the world. Thank you
from
the bottom of our hearts for keeping everyone safe and helping out on in situations that are less than optimal, he would say.
Yeah, we've had quite a few messages from you guys that are actually first aiders, nurses, doctors working on the front line or in any health service. And yeah, my thoughts are with you. Take care and God bless you for taking, you know, helping out with this horrific situation while the rest of us just sit indoors basically and wait this out. Keep the stories, comments, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week as always, guys. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, take care, all the best, and we look forward to seeing you next week. God bless.
See you later.
A whisper.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.